Respected ulama-i kiram, elders and brothers, it is the fazl and grace of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has blessed us with another opportunity of witnessing the day of Arafah. The day of Arafah is the most virtuous day in the year, and together with it being the day of Arafah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also blessed us with the day of Jumu'ah. So it is as though we have got a double Eid today. We have got the day of Arafah and we have got the day of Jumu'ah. And in both these days, the special mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends and du'as are accepted, du'as are answered. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned the best du'a is the du'a which is made on the day of Arafah. And then he said that the best du'a which I recite and the Anbiya before me also recited is La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la lahul mulk wa lahul hamd wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. So this du'a or the zikr is something we should be reciting throughout the day. At least one tasbih a person reads La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Remember, all these different forms of ibadat have got some unique nur attached to it. So every ibadat comes with a different type of a nur and a different light and a different splendor and a different happiness. But that is provided we are not committing sin. If a person doesn't commit any sin, he stays away from all forms of haram, then he will actually experience this nur within his heart. He will experience this enjoyment within his heart, because this is the barakat of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the barakat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the du'as that he taught us and the du'as that were made by the anbiya who came before. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he would say that every day there are people who are emancipated from the fire of Jahannam. But on the day of Arafat, the most amount of people are emancipated from the fire of Jahannam. So he would, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and would advise that we make a certain dua, and he himself would make this dua. Allahumma a'tiq raqabati minan nar. O Allah, emancipate me from the fire of Jahannam. Wa awsi'li minar rizqil halal. And O Allah, give me abundance of halal sustenance. Wasrif anni fasaqat al-jinn wal-ins. And O Allah, distance away from me, turn away from me the rebellious jinnat and humans. As a believer, our greatest concern should be how it is going to fare with us in the akhirat. So the first part of the dua, you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for emancipation from the fire of Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must emancipate all of us and our families and our children and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the fire of Jahannam. Then in this dunya, generally a person, one of his main concerns will be his sustenance and rozi. People are always worried about their sustenance, they're worried about their rozi. So here we're making dua, oh Allah, you give us abundance. We don't want like a shortage. We don't want it to be things to be difficult, things to be tight. No, give us abundance of halal rozi. Whenever we ask for sustenance, we always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for halal sustenance. Remember, halal got barakat in it, halal has got strength in it, and the outcome of halal will always be very, very good. It will always bring about a very positive and a very beautiful outcome, because that is halal. Then the third thing is that in this dunya, there are evil elements. There's evil people also, there's evil jinnat, there's evil shayateen, and we are living among them. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his protection, divine protection against all these evil elements. So such a beautiful, comprehensive dua. Respected friends, these duas we need to learn and we need to read them. We need to read them, we need to recite them. Some pious people, on the big nights and the big days, they will take the whole kitab. You know, Al-Hizbul Azam is a kitab filled with duas. The duas of Rasulullah ﷺ, duas of Sahaba. And they would read the whole kitab and they will make all those duas, because That is something that we really need in every facet of our lives. Remember, one of the most important things we need throughout our lives, even after we leave this dunya, even when we go on into the qabr, then you need people's duas. One person, his brother passed away. So he saw his brother in the dream and he asked him, how did it fare with you? So he said that, you know, I saw a flame of fire coming towards me, and perhaps I was going to get punished and I was going to get burned because of some of my wrongdoing, some of my sins. But immediately someone made a dua. At that same time, someone made a dua. The barakah of that dua, I was saved from that flame of fire. So that in this dunya also, sometimes there's a calamity that is about to strike upon us. We're about to fall into some calamity, and here the dua will come. The barakah of the dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect us. So we need to make a lot of dua. Remember, these are the days of dua. These are the days for us to cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and draw from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our big problem is that our mind is on everything else, but we have shifted our attention from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The most important thing, our attention needs to be on the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the day of Arafah, and as I mentioned, Friday also, especially the time between Asr and Maghrib. This is a time when du'as are accepted. It is the day of Arafah. It is a Friday. We should pour our hearts out before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember always, whatever our needs are, whatever our necessities are, even though it may seem to be something small also, always put it before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make that habit. And whatever is important, keep a list of all the du'as you need to make. All the du'as you need to make, have a list. I need to make all these du'as. These are the people I need to make du'a for. People ask me to make this du'a. They ask me to make that du'a. I need to make this du'a for my child, for my grandchild, for my cousin, for my friend. Always have. You know, Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith, Muhammad Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi, when he was in Madina Munawara, towards the end of his life, he had migrated to Madina Munawara. Then people would actually send the list of du'as that they wanted him to make for them. The people made, as you are now in Madina Munawara, you are in the blessed lands, make this du'a for me, and make that du'a for me, make this du'a for my child. So Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali also comments, he says that some of those du'as, I was really impressed with the du'a. You know, sometimes someone else will tell you to make that du'a, but then you will realize what a beautiful du'a it is, and what an encompassing du'a. So one du'a Hazrat Maulana Idris Kandelvi Rahmatullah Ali had sent to him, and maybe we will not understand this now, but I'm just mentioning it to us so that we know about it, we have knowledge of it. He said, make this du'a that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects me, my children, my grandchildren, and my progeny till the day of Qiyamah from English education. Why these people, they had seen the darkness in this English. They had seen the oppression and the atrocities of the British. They knew what evil there is in this year. So that's why they even requested to make these. But Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, he himself comments another one to other du'as. He says, I was actually impressed with this du'a that this person requested me to make. But respected friends, as I said, we need to constantly keep this list of du'as and constantly make du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, man qara al-bab walajja walajja. That person who looks at the door and he's persistent, he carries on knocking, one day you will enter that place. So you gotta, the du'a is something like that. You gotta carry on making du'a. At no point you should think, now my du'as are not being accepted. You know, often shaitan puts this in our mind, you made this du'a. No, carry on making du'a. Maybe you're gonna make it, it's gonna reach a certain amount of time. Maybe you have to make it 100 times, or you have to make it 500 times, or 1,000 times, and then you're gonna see it materializing. And remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is accepting the du'a, but sometimes it's not just materializing immediately. For some reason, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't give that thing to you right now. Maybe it's not the right time. We don't know. Wallahu ya'lam wa antum la ta'lamun. We cannot fathom the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot understand the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows and you don't know. Maybe this is not the ideal time for you to get that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not giving it to you now. Maybe that's not the best thing for you. Maybe Allah has got something better for you. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala That dua you are making, you're not going to get what you asked for. But through the barakat of that dua, a calamity is being warded off. You're being protected. Now you're thinking, I'm not getting this. But you're not realizing you are safe. Your children are safe. People around you are safe. Allah is protecting you. Allah is protecting your family from different problems. So Allah knows. And some people in this world, they will see no benefit for that dua. They will not see that dua materializing. But then on the day of Qiyamah, when they go and see the rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in store for them, now they're thinking, how? We got so many rewards. We didn't do so many good deeds. Then they will be informed that all the du'as you made in this world, that you did not see the benefit of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept that reward for you in the akhirat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stored those treasures for you. At that time, the person will think to himself, how nice if none of my du'as had materialized in the dunya. I did not see the benefit of any du'a and I got all the rewards here in the akhirat. So this du'a is something that we need to constantly make all the time in whichever condition we are. In fact, Haji Nakhuda sahab rahmatullahi alayhi, he used to recommend, and he also got this from his Shaykh, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Muhammad Zakaria rahmatullahi alayhi, one type of dua which they call muraqabai dua'iyya. It is a type of meditation. So you just close your eyes. Sometimes a person is feeling tired, maybe he's fasting, he doesn't have the strength now to raise his hands, make dua. But you close your eyes and you don't have to move your lips, you don't have to move your hands. In your heart you speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In your heart you beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is hearing that, what is that in your heart also, what you are saying deep within your heart also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that. Allah knows the whispers within the heart as well. So the person is just, eyes are closed, and he's just meditating, and he's making Allah ta'ala, this is my need, O Allah. O Allah, this is my fear, O Allah. This is my desires, O Allah. These are my ambitions, O Allah. These are my dreams, O Allah. And that person is making that dua. So that is also one form of dua. So this Mubarak day and tonight is also the Eid of the Eidul Adha. This is also a night wherein the rivers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmat is flowing. The rivers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person feels now he will not be able to exert himself late at night. Then there were some pious people. Until now you get some pious people. From Maghrib to Isha they make ibadat. So they know at least alhamdulillah that 1 hour they engage in ibadat, they engage in tilawat, they engage in dua. And after that, whatever time you get, a person can wake up early. That is also one of the sunnats on the day of Eid al-Adha. A person wakes up early and reads a few rakats of the Tahajjud namaz, has a bath, uses a miswak, applies itar, goes walking if it is at a walking distance to the Eidgah, and a person recites the takbir al-tashriq loudly. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. You are going to the Eidgah, reciting the takbir al-tashriq, and preferably returning from a different route, also reciting the takbir al-tashriq loudly. So this is this takbir, inshallah, to the barakat of all this year, we will draw the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will draw the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will draw from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, when you sing Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. There's nothing difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is difficult. In our minds, we have got a lot of limitations. A man is in debts now. He's thinking, hey, how is it possible for me to pay these debts? How am I going to come out of this problem? For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not difficult. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even no sickness is difficult for him to cure. Person thinking to himself, I've got the sickness now. How am I going to cure the sickness? Doctors told me that there's no treatment for this. There's no cure. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knows best. Put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have that full yaqeen. Have that full conviction. So today and tomorrow, inshallah, let us dedicate these days to the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us not engage ourselves in futile discussions, futile activities. Let us not waste our time, while our time. Let us make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just recite the third kalima. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. In this way, inshallah, we will be earning great rewards in the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will be building our akhirat, we will be preparing our akhirat. The final hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hajjatul Wada. It is in the final Hajj. The Arafat was also on a Friday. Like how we have got Arafat here, yes, in Saudi yesterday they had the Arafat. But for us, our Arafat, our day of Arafat today is a Friday, the 9th of Zulhijjah. So it, the final Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the farewell Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Arafat was on a Friday. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Arafat and he had gathered the Sahaba, he had addressed the Sahaba. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a lot of dua in Arafat, a lot of dua for his ummah. And it was after the Asr Salah, the Zuhr and Asr were combined. And after the Asr Salah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on his camel when this beautiful ayat of the Quran Sharif was revealed. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. That today I have perfected your deen for you and I have completed my favor upon you and I have chosen Islam to be your deen. Approximately 81 days after this was the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this ayat was a very great glad tidings for this ummah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling this ummah, your deen is complete, your deen is perfect. When Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and when he heard this ayat, he started crying. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, why are you crying? He said, till now we were improving, we were progressing, we were increasing. But now that we have reached perfection, then it may be that there's going to be a decline now and there's going to be a decrease. So Rasulullah ﷺ did confirm what Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said. Ka'b al-Ahbar was a great Jewish scholar who accepted Islam in the era of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. He told Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, if a verse like this was revealed upon the Jews, then we would have made that day a day of Eid. We would have made that a day of celebration, a day of Eid. Such a great verse that even the Jewish scholars and rabbis were impressed at the verse of the Quran Sharif. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhum told him that I know exactly when that verse was revealed. It was the day of Arafah and it was the day of Jummah, and for us it was double Eid. So that day is double Eid. It was a Friday also and it was the day of Arafat. So there's no need for us to make that a day of Eid or a day of celebration. And actually the weight of the wahi was such that the camel actually had to sit down, because the camel could not take, when the wahi would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the weight of the wahi was such that he would become extremely heavy, and the camel also had to sit down. It could not bear that weight. So this verse is giving us a very, very important message. Remember, when the deen is complete, you can't add anything to the deen and you cannot decrease anything from the deen. If someone comes tomorrow and they tell you, you know, why are we reading 2 rakats Jummah namaz? We got such a good congregation here. Let's read 4 rakats. What you tell him? No. The deen is complete. The deen is perfect. The teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are already finished now. He already came. He taught us. There's no abrogation. There's no one that's going to cancel anything. There's no one that's going to abrogate anything. So when it comes to this deen, remember, deen comprises of either commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or either prohibitions. Either there's commandments or there's prohibitions. So you cannot change the commandments. You have to read namaz. You will have to read the exact amount of rakats of namaz. You will have to read it in the prescribed method, in the prescribed way. When it comes to the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then too you cannot change it. You cannot legitimize. You cannot justify. Unfortunately, Allah protect us, but we are going through very dangerous times now, wherein a lot of things are being legitimized in the name of Islam. Things are being justified. People are giving some fancy explanations. Ordinary people cannot make out the difference. But people who are real scholars, they understand the difference. They understand where the interpretation is flawed, where the interpretation is incorrect. They can make out that. So this is a very, very, so you cannot legitimize alcohol. If someone comes and they try to legitimize alcohol, intoxicants, you cannot legitimize intoxicants. You cannot legitimize interest. No matter what name you're going to give it, if it falls under the definition of interest, the definition that is given by the Shariat. You cannot legitimize interest. You cannot legitimize gambling. You cannot legitimize music. You cannot legitimize television and videos. You cannot legitimize photography. You cannot legitimize even free intermingling. This has become now where people are intermingling freely. Some parts in the world where the sheikhs are now directly speaking to females without any veil, without any barrier, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is saying in the Quran, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُنَّ مَتَاعًا فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ. When you ask the beloved wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for something, ask them from behind the veil. You are behind the veil, they are behind the veil. There is no free intermingling. ذَلِكُمْ أَسْكَى لِقُلُوبِكُمْ وَقُلُوبِهِمْ. That is more pure for your hearts and their hearts. So, respected friends, all these different fitnas and all these different challenges and vices are now coming into our society. There's different things that are being promoted, different things that are being spread. So we have to be very, very careful. This beautiful deen is our deen. We have to protect this deen. We have to preserve this deen. Sahaba were prepared to give their lives for this deen. So we have to also be prepared to make an effort to try and protect and preserve the deen. Now, halal and haram. You know, al-halal ubayyinun, wal-haram ubayyinun. The famous hadith, halal is clear, haram is clear. وَبَيْنَهُمَا مُشْتَبِهَاتٍ. There's a lot of grey areas, a lot of doubtful things. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, stay away from the doubtful things. So now you will get a term called halal friendly. And people get carried away. What do you mean when you say halal friendly? Something is either halal or it's haram. How can it be halal friendly? It is something that can be very, very deceptive. So you find in these outlets that are halal friendly, in the same frying pan that they are frying bacon, then they are frying eggs in the same frying pan. So the same frying pan, they are frying pork, they are frying eggs. The same knife you're using to cut a cheese sandwich, you're using to cut a bacon sandwich. Now people are going, they're eating in all these places. Then you get terms like kosher. Now you think something is kosher. No, kosher is something different. It's not necessarily going to meet the criteria of halal. Even they say vegan. Vegan doesn't necessarily mean something is halal because they regard alcohol to be vegetarian. So if you put alcohol in that product, it may be called vegan, but there's some traces of alcohol. Alcohol, they also regard it to be vegetarian. So respected friends, we need to be very careful, very particular. This is our deen, this is our iman, this is our dunya, this is our akhirat, these are our children. We don't want to make mistakes and take them on the wrong path. We don't want to feed them with doubtful things, things of a haram nature. Otherwise, the consequences could be very detrimental in this world and the year after. May Allah grant us a true understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana.